Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Hot Normal Radio News on the 14th of November, 3305, the 1336th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 12. You know, the one between Ryan Gosling and Tom Hanks. Excellent. Well, joining us tonight, we have, of course, the coughing Norma Snockers! We have Lou Snockers! No, I don't have Lou Snockers, but he's here.
Thank you, what a delightful interview.
Wilma Finger Do! This is not a great way to do the intro. Wilma Finger Do!
Hello, Dick.
Hello. The very sick Willie B. Hardigan!
Hello.
And of course, the sick-making, vomit-inducing, pustulous-skinned, wonderful Harry Balzac!
Thank you very much, you wonderful ad libber, you.
And now, on to the headlines. We're all heads, look! It's a line of heads. Headlines.
Prison Break Hutton Style, Part 2.
New Guardian sight, and that's no misprint.
Is it Generation Incarceration?
Large pad leaves locals livid.
I can't see it. I spit my script. Sorry.
Atris 5060 speaks after the beep.
Lou has an extremely detailed insight into the BGS.
And Norma is going to bang on about something complicated.
Following our partial success a few weeks ago at rescuing our missing pilots from the clutches of the dastardly Dawn, a ragtag group of commanders sallied forth on Saturday for a two-pronged assault in G-83-13. The prison ship, which had been stationed in Kokiri during our first rescue attempt, did, as you know, depart that system for places unknown. Some dogged work by Commander Vantian and Palantir resulted in the missing ship being tracked down back in its home system.
A large phalanx of SRVs and ships attacked the base, with the expected result of general mayhem.
Flossie spent the entire evening making her SRV dance the hokey cokey as she stuck the left wheel in, the left wheel out, and may have even shaken it all about. She couldn't work out where neutral was on her joystick, nor how to operate the handbrake. Flossie would like to apologise to any commander who had their personal space inappropriately invaded, and hopes that it doesn't count towards her combat rank.
Many commanders lined up their SRVs for a photo opportunity, at which time Commander Hankey was dismayed to see his park ship being shot up by the base as he grimaced and said cheese.
Never let it be said that Hutton commanders don't know how to dismount in style. After the photo, there was a lemming-like charge for the edge and a dozen SRVs launched into space, landing in the middle of the base in various states of disrepair.
The assault continued at the prison ship we claimed victory over the Don, as we managed to recover the rest of our missing comrades, along with some tasty cargo which just happened to be floating in space after some hatchbreak limpets were accidentally deployed.
Commander Palantir attempted to dive bomb the base, but unfortunately, in the process, managed to accidentally destroy Commander Thomason in a particularly spectacular fashion. Maybe it was karma that meant that later, during one particularly tense moment, Palantir reached out his hand to grasp some much-needed refreshment, but being unable to shift his gaze sufficiently from the scene in front of him, managed to knock over a glass of white wine directly into the top of his ship's computer, which resulted in all systems shutting down faster than a pilot's sphincter during a Thargoid attack, and him being ejected unceremoniously from the fray. We understand that after wiping his tears from the waste of wine, and the next day restoring all of the ship's Venus circuits by licking them clean, his ship system started once more. And he is none the worse for the experience, apart from an inexplicable thirst that comes over him when he is downwind of the computer systems.
Flossie's concern about her combat rank may explain why she was in the middle of a firestorm at the prison ship and was refusing to help by shooting people. She claims it's because her ships don't carry guns, but we think we know better.
As usual, the Hotbox contingent were more tightly focused and achieved their goal with a mere 3 commanders and in less time. Presumably because lining up for their selfie took no time at all.
Most commanders finished the night with a pronounced swagger from their newly found, and in most cases unusual, notoriety. And there were more bounties handed out than at a coconut and chocolate lovers convention.
Proof, if proof were needed, that there are still plenty of things to discover in our galaxy came this week when Commander Vanilla Ice Toxophilite found a previously unknown Guardian site in the snappily titled Column 173 Sector RF-D C13-12 system on Body C3. Canon research have been informed, but despite this site appearing at first to be unique, it subsequently has been classified as having 1 well-reserved alpha site and 2 gamma sites. Despite the apparent lack of special features for this site, this discovery has reignited the curiosity gene in many explorers, and efforts to locate more Guardian bases continue apace.
There is speculation that all may not be as it seems on the recently discovered generation ship Golconda, including the fact that they have requested goods that include semiconductors, which are unlikely to be backwards compatible with their 22nd century systems. Golnet News reported that the loading procedures were done at top speed. Hardly any comms chatter at all. Nobody on the Golconda entered the cargo bays before we left. We suspect that the so-called emergency is nothing of the sort, and that in fact the infamous dastardly Don Antonacci has taken over the ship, overwhelming their age defences, and has taken the crew hostage. We will be watching as this story unfolds, and keeping a careful eye on the galactic markets, where we will be checking for unexpected gluts of basic medicines, advanced medicines, aluminium, ceramic composites, and semiconductors.
Red Planet Taxi Service have submitted a controversial planning request today for Hutton authorities to add a large pad to the station. A spokesman for RPTS said, "Although the medium pad was large enough for us to park a hauler on it, it just does not have the facilities to support our Beluga liners. It makes sense to add just one pad to the orbital. Oh, and an executive lounge. And a gift shop, obviously. And maybe some fancier shops. And would it kill you to build a decent restaurant in this place?" Since the introduction of a tourist beacon at Proxima Centauri, Hutton has become popular as a destination for beacon baggers and people who really, really want to get away from it all. But some travellers have been less than complimentary about the facilities aboard the ageing outpost. Red Planet Taxi Service themselves are not without controversy. The budget travel brand are known for hogging medium pads with their trademark haulers, charging passengers for use of emergency REMBLOK equipment, and providing brightly coloured retrieval wallets for lower-end passengers to seal themselves in the event of a crash, which turned out to be badly disguised body bags. Hutton locals have become a sit-in protest outside of the Red Planet Taxi Service offices in an effort to force the company to reconsider their plans amid fears that the large pad would change the fundamental cheerful grottiness which defines the station and its inhabitants. One yokel said, "If they add a large pad and then put a beluga on it, then the station will tip over and we'll all slide down to one end." Another commented, "We don't like incomers. They have strange ways." This reporter thought, "Go to Altair. It's nicer, and you're less likely to get food poisoning. Or gangrene."
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Haxwing, it has now been 105 days since Tharg retreated from the bubble. That's 105 days since a new station was attacked. 105 days Operation Ida has been able to effect repairs without new stations being added to the list. 105 days civilians have not been killed or forced to evacuate their homes. I wanted to say thank you to all of the pilots who have helped defend the bubble, evacuate civilians, and repair stations. But we're not out of this yet. We still have over 70 stations needing repairs, and Tharg still sits out in the Pleiades and Witchhead Nebula plotting his next move. So, what can you do? Operation Ida can always use more people hauling repair supplies. Their current focus is on Bailout Dock in Gliese 58. You can always find the current repair target at OperationIda.com. Even delivering one load a week can make a big difference if enough people do it. Also, a note on the Thargoid-damaged megaships in the bubble. For some reason, Tharg likes to revisit his kills, and this scares away the cleanup and salvage crews. So if you drop into a megaship and find it damaged and smothered in green haze, it doesn't mean this is a fresh attack in the bubble. Also, be wary because sometimes interceptors and scouts may drop in for a visit while you're there. So stay wary out there, keep those combat skills sharp, and watch the signal sources. We won the first round, but it was hard fought, and we're still recovering. I don't know when it's coming, but I expect a renewed attack sometime soon.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
End encrypted transmission.
Good evening, trackers. Atrus 5060 here. Or rather, I'm not here, since there's no research needed on non-existent Thargoids. This is an automated message. Just not as sophisticated as Haxwing, so I'll just say, for the mug. I would take the bit in the mug, but honestly, when was the last time we needed to do that? That's right, never! Have a lovely time, truckers, for the mug.
Everywhere's fine. Really fine. So fine, in fact. But it's a bit boring. I hope Norma has something to tell you, because I haven't. Norma, excite the masses, my dear.
The trade CG completes with just under 5 hours remaining as Federation and Imperial megaships arrive in system to prepare their own plans to support the Golconda.